WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. I think after the dueling speeches last night, a lot of the focus is going to return to the pain of the government shutdown as it piles through the country and the stalemate continues. For example, dozens of agencies like the EPA, the FDA, and even a lot of Homeland Security are barely operating. In New York, the shutdown could roll back MTA services after a few more weeks, according to Senator Schumer, because they depend on a certain line of federal funding that might stop. Among the 800,000 federal workers who will miss a paycheck this week are TSA workers at JFK and LaGuardia and Newark airports. They're beginning to use their days off.
If you don't have a check that's going to come in to pay your bills, then what are you going to do? You're going to look for something outside the what you're doing now.
That's the TSA union president. Last night, Trump snapped up 10 minutes of primetime TV to convince Americans that there's a border in crisis and to blame Democrats for the shutdown, both of which are questionable claims. You should know that nearly every member of Congress from districts along the border does not support a wall, regardless of party. This includes Texas Republican Congressman Will Hurd. Here he is on CNN's Don Lemon last night, rejecting the idea of a crisis on the border.
Well, if this is a crisis, the people that are dealing with this crisis should get paid. I was just on the border. I was in a town in Del Rio talking to a number of members in Border Patrol. They were concerned about having to work without getting paid. Look, some of the communities along the border are some of the safest communities in the United States of America, and that's been the case for an exceptionally long time. There are parts of the border where Border Patrol's response time is measured in hours to days. If your response time is measured in hours to days, then a wall is actually not a physical barrier. It's a gross misuse of taxpayer dollars. This is a place that is, everyone tries to act like this is some scary, drug cartel movie back in the day. The reality is that, yes, there are people that are sneaking into our country. We can stop that if we have smart solutions, and that's ultimately going to be relying on technology.
Congressman Will Hurd, Republican from along the border. We'll talk more about all that later. We have the chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, another Democrat from our area who's now a big committee chairman because of Democratic control of the House. That's Elliot Engel in this case from Westchester in the Bronx. He'll be on later this hour. But for a brief moment, the president, Chuck and Nancy, all of the shutdown news was upstaged yesterday locally by none other than New York City's own mayor, Bill de Blasio. The mayor announced on national television, in fact, on Morning Joe on MSNBC, that the city would fund medical insurance or medical care, it's not really insurance, for hundreds of thousands of undocumented immigrant New Yorkers as part of a new vision to tackle health care as part of the mayor's ongoing effort to tackle inequality.
Healthcare is a human right. In this city, we're going to make that a reality. In this city, we're taking that ideal and putting it into practice. From this moment on in New York City, everyone is guaranteed the right to healthcare. It literally means all 8.6 million people will have some form of coverage.
Universal coverage in New York City. That was the mayor from a news conference he held yesterday afternoon, here to break down the details and the politics of the mayor's announcement is WNYC City Hall and Politics reporter Bridget Bergen and the Vice President of Health Initiatives at the Community Service Society, Elizabeth Benjamin. Bridget and Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bridget, is this universal coverage?
Well, this is a plan from City Hall to extend coverage to uninsured and to do it over time. You know, a lot of the questions that the mayor got yesterday were, you know, what's changing now? And really, initially, what's changing is not a lot. There's going to be an increased push to try and get folks who are not currently part of the city's healthcare plan, Metro Plus, who are eligible, meaning they're citizens and they can afford it, to sign up for this health insurance and to improve the customer service associated with it so that there's an incentive to do that. And then starting this summer, they will begin to extend this new program, NYC Care, which will be, as you said, it's not health insurance. It is a way to access medical coverage that's not just through the emergency room, but it will allow for people who either cannot afford the city's insurance plan, Metro Plus, or who are ineligible, meaning they're undocumented, to be able to become part of a program, be matched up with a primary care doctor, and to have access to the type of medical services that people with commercial health insurance have, and all with this to avoid having people going to the emergency room for all of their healthcare needs.
Now, listeners, the mayor's stats are that there are about 600,000 New York City residents who are uninsured. If that includes you and you want to understand if you're actually going to have access to health care now, we can take your phone calls for Bridget Bergen and Elizabeth Benjamin from the Community Service Society, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anyone else with a question or a comment about what the mayor rolled out yesterday. Before we bring in Elizabeth with her expertise, Bridget, I mentioned in the intro that this would cover undocumented immigrants, but it's not only undocumented immigrants. But what's the undocumented immigrants piece, since they are in the news so much for these other, you know, border and shutdown reasons?
Sure. So that is part of this NYC Care, which is the new program that the city is going to start this summer, launching in the Bronx, and then over the course of 2 years, will expand across the city. Right now, the city's saying for about $100 million, which seems like a very, very small amount, they are going to be able to sign people up, including people who are undocumented, for this program, give them a membership card, give them access to a hotline that they can call for whatever healthcare needs that they need. And it is not insurance, so it would not, you know, if they were somewhere outside of New York City, it wouldn't cover their healthcare anywhere else. But here within the city, through the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation, they would be able to go into one of its hospitals or 70 clinics and access primary care, specialty care, a lot of the preventative medicine that the city hopes will keep people out of emergency rooms. And they would be through this NYC Care program because they cannot sign up, because they're not citizens, they can't sign up for the city's insurance programs.
Elizabeth, you've been here before as an advocate for the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, also as somebody who coaches people on how to sign up for Obamacare policies. You're a big advocate for universal health care in America. Is this universal health care in New York City?
It's the closest thing we can get to universal health care in New York City, if with just city leadership. And so hats off to, you know, Mayor de Blasio for saying, hey, I'm doing everything I can. And really, the great credit goes to Mitch Katz, who's the head of the Health and Hospitals Corporation, who, in fact, did this in San Francisco and Los Angeles. So you know, a lot of people, the sort of cynics say, oh, you know, the city already does this, but they're going to do something really different.
And what do you mean did this in San Francisco?
They're saying,
do they have universal health access?
Yeah, they did a Healthy San Francisco program that basically using restaurant tax wages made it, everybody eligible for a kind of coverage package. And people got a card. People could go to, you know, had primary care, had ability to go to hospital. So this was all before ACA.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying... So what's happened here is right now the city has, you know, faces this huge problem. There's three groups of uninsured people left, right? There's the people who are eligible but uninsured. They're going to try to expand signing them up through this initiative. The other group is undocumented immigrants. And the last person people are a third that find coverage unaffordable. The real solutions should be at the state level or the federal level, ideally. The federal government could do major policy initiatives and resolve the insurance problem, but they are not doing it. The state government could do really important policy initiatives and resolve this problem. They could say, we're going to do, and we've been pushing through the Coverage for All campaign, we have been pushing for the state to offer universal coverage for undocumented immigrant with state-only funding. And in fact, Governor Newsom yesterday announced doing just that for young adults.
In
and
California.
We have a bill in Albany saying we should do or expand our children's health insurance program up to age 29. That would only cost $90 million. And the governor, that's literally a rounding error in the state's healthcare budget. And so we've been calling upon the state to do that. Or in the context of a $176 billion single payer proposal, we could cover all undocumented immigrants for $500 million. Also a rounding error in the state's healthcare budget. So we really need leadership at Albany to happen, to really do something for immigrants. And we were really excited to see the governor go out to Ellis Island last week. And we thought we were really hopeful that there would be a healthcare announcement, and there hasn't been yet. So bless the mayor for saying, okay, nothing's happening at the state and federal level yet. We're hopeful that the governor will still do something, or the legislature, now that, you know, there's three Democrats in the room, possibly the legislature could do something in Albany this budget cycle and get real help right now for people. But given that that's not happening, kudos to Mayor de Blasio for saying, look, we have to do something now. And what they're proposing is to doing everything they possibly can at the city level, which is saying, we're going to, you know, provide people with a health insurance, a coverage card where people can go to city facilities. We're going to give them concierge service so they can actually get to a primary care appointment or a mental health appointment. And we're going to provide that on a sliding fee scale or free of charge, depending on what people can afford.
So people do need to sign up for this, including undocumented immigrants who, in this national environment, may be wary of signing up for anything with the government. So the city's going to have to draw people out who are not insured to sign up for this card that is not insurance, but provides them coverage.
But the genius of this is it's not Medicaid. It's not, you know, it's not federally funded coverage, which is what the public charge, you know, the scary guidance that's come out from the Trump administration is only affecting federally financed programs. So this is really the best thing we can offer. And I think the messaging's so important. Everyone has the right to health care in New York City. And that's really different. That's a whole different message. We've never heard that message before. Everyone has the right to health care. Everyone's going to get a lookalike, the closest thing we can approximate to health coverage. And we're going to give people cards. And that's very exciting. But it really isn't what should happen. What should happen is major change in Albany. And that's where we really guarantee coverage for all immigrants through either an expansion of our essential plan or a young adult program. That's what needs to happen.
Let's take a phone call. Elizabeth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to say that I thought this was, you know, a great first step and exciting. I particularly... I'm in a situation where I think, you know, emergency coverage, you know, should be extended to everybody because I don't have health insurance. I choose not to get it, and I pay the penalty every year because of the individual mandate, because I pay out of pocket for alternative care for a chronic illness that I'd had for a very long time, and I can't afford to pay for both. So I opt to pay for the medical care that I do receive, as opposed to insurance and then, you know, paying up to the deductible and for medical care that I can't really use for what I have, and also to put that money towards my son's college tuition. And I think I'm not alone in being in this position, but I do have worries about, you know, if I have to go to an emergency room. And I think about people who don't have insurance and the anxiety, especially if you're, you know, poor or undocumented, that that produces for people. So, you know, I think anything that extends coverage to more people is great. And I just wanted also to sort of, I don't know, give a just a reminder that there are people who are in kind of different, unique positions in relation to healthcare coverage.
Right,
and,
like yours.
Like mine, yeah, exactly.
Elizabeth, thank you very much. And Elizabeth Benjamin, I'll turn right back to you on this. Could this be for someone like Elizabeth, from the little she described of her circumstance, or other people who may not be among the poorest of the poor, but feel they can't afford any of the health insurance options that are out there?
Yes. Well, first of all, because a big component of this is making sure that people like the Elizabeth caller, you know, is really, I mean, I would like to have her sit down with a navigator or a certified application counselor to make sure that she truly is, that insurance options really are unavailable to her, because it might be that she's eligible for more financial assistance under the Affordable Care Act. And, you know, it's amazing how great New York has been in implementing the Affordable Care Act. And we really invest in these local in-person navigators that really can walk people through it. So the first thing I'd like to do that is go through that with her. But if it's truly unaffordable, and by the way, we're also calling for additional state premium assistance for people just like Elizabeth. So for people that are over the 200% of poverty level or $25,000 a year level, we are also who have very low income, very low insurance premiums. We are also calling for that. But I think we really, this could be a great program for her, because at least she would have a card that says, I have a local, you know, a primary care doctor, I have mental health care, and if I need to use it. So I think it's great.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the program that Mayor de Blasio announced yesterday that he says will mean universal health care access in New York City. There are 600,000 people approximately in the city who do not have health insurance, and the mayor says this program will cover the rest of them if they choose to participate. We're talking about it with Elizabeth Benjamin, who's just talking, an advocate for universal coverage from the Community Service Society, and WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen. Will take more phone calls in a minute at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Bridget, I'm wondering if at the news conference the question of money came up, because my eyes popped out of my head yesterday and I thought this must be a mistake when I saw that this was going to cover these 600,000 people for $100 million a year. Now, to put that into context a little bit, what's the total city budget? Is it like $80 billion a year, something like that?
Yeah, right on. You're right on par with it. That's
okay.
For sure.
So $100 million in the context of $80 billion is tiny. It's maybe what Elizabeth was just referring to as like a rounding error in the state budget. So we took out our calculators yesterday in the office and, oh, okay, $600,000 into $100 million. That means that the mayor is saying we can cover each of these 600,000 people for healthcare at about $150 a piece per year. Come on.
So, so that the financial questions were, you know, I think we were hitting them over and over yesterday, both at the press conference when they announced the plan and then, you know, talking with officials afterwards to try to get some clarity, because not only is this price tag seemingly very small, but in recent years, when we've been talking about the city's health and health and hospitals, we've been talking about a tremendous deficit that the agency was facing. And so to hear that they would be starting a new program that could cover such a large number of people for such a small amount of money raised a lot of questions. So a couple of things that they pointed out. Number one, this program will be $100 million when it's fully ramped up, which is not until 2021. So the initial cost, we will see some of those numbers in the mayor's upcoming preliminary budget address, which will be in the next couple of weeks. Connected to that, the city's Health and Hospitals Corporation has gone through a transformation plan. As Elizabeth mentioned, Dr. Mitchell Katz has been responsible for changing a lot of the operations, and both Dr. Katz and the city's budget director, Melanie Hartzog, were telling us yesterday that the city has moved health and hospitals into a much stronger cash position, that not only has it exceeded its revenue targets, but that it has much more cash on hand than it has had in past years. And that is also part of what is making this possible. You know, diving into those numbers a little bit more fully is something that, you know, we're going to do when we hear the preliminary budget address. But, I think that's something that we'll be watching, how the city is able to maintain this program for what seems like a very small price tag.
Elizabeth Benjamin, I know you crunched these numbers. How is this possible?
Well, I think what we're all sort of forgetting about is the City Health and Hospitals Corporation is already providing the bulk of the care to the uninsured already. And what Dr. Katz has really done is two really important things. Number one, he's really, and in fact, before him, Stan Bresnoff really focused on this too. They've really drilled down on making sure that uninsured people are getting hooked up for insurance. And part of this new proposal is to say, look, every person that hits our system really needs to be enrolled in coverage if they're actually eligible and entitled to it. And there's really good coverage options. Then they're saying, okay, for people who are undocumented, those folks are already coming here, but we're not treating them as ideally as we could. And we're going to reframe how we're doing this. We're not going to just tell people to come, you know, we're not going to just have people reactively accept people into our emergency rooms. We're going to proactively reach out to them and say, look, you, like every other resident of New York City, have a right to having health care. And we're going to give you a card. We're going to give you a primary care doctor. We're going to give you a phone number. And that's a really different patient-centric vision that we just haven't seen to date. And it's the best they can do in the absence of federal and state, leadership on this issue, we're still hoping for.
We have a tweet from a listener that says, more I look at it, the more this looks like an accounting move, shifting folks from column A, hospital treatment, to column B, clinic treatment, which is more efficient and cost-effective. Is that a good way to look at it?
I mean, and we want people. I mean, it's better for people not to be waiting in an emergency room because we want true emergencies to go into emergency rooms. There's not a lot of evidence that, for example, undocumented immigrants are flooding our emergency rooms, actually, because there are community health centers. So I think what this is I think a lot of people just don't know how to navigate our health insurance system, our health coverage system, care system. And this is really a way to help people efficiently navigate it and get help. I just wanted to say on this Coverage for All and working targeting Albany, there is a rally on January 15th. And if people are interested in pushing the state legislature and the governor in terms of coming out and really pushing for undocumented immigrant coverage and immigrant coverage like Governor Newsom's doing in California, the rally's on January 15th. If you want to get involved, you can type in coverage4all.info. And there's a whole website and action engagement package there. So coverage4all.info.
So this is interesting to me, Elizabeth. We're talking about the plan the mayor rolled out for the city, and you keep coming back to the state and things you would like to see Albany do now that there's Democratic control of the state Senate. But in Politico New York today, it says the irony is that the mayor's program may empower critics of the theoretical single-payer health system that de Blasio supports, those who argue that New York State can bridge its 5% uninsured rate, I'm conflating a few things here. But the point is that opponents of New York State single payer
may say, oh, there's no more reason to do this anymore.
That's right. Problem solved.
And the answer to that is right, quite simple. Coverage is the gold standard. Everybody who wants to be an equal member of society typically wants to have a health care coverage card, and they want insurance. Because insurance is the great equalizer. It's the single biggest thing we've done to move people out of poverty in the last, 50, 60 years since the Great Depression. So if you want to stop people from having economic debt, bankruptcy, people without insurance die sooner. I mean, all the data's out there. This has been proven with research. Insurance is the gold standard. This is the best our mayor can do, and bully for him for doing it. He's put something in the ante. We now need the state legislature and the governor to see him and raise him one by doing something on real coverage for immigrants.
Michael and Bridget, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to chime in and say, you know, the reaction that Elizabeth is having is, you know, I think really it's an important part to remember in this announcement, and it was very much what the mayor was trying to do. You know, what he was saying yesterday, drawing a really stark contrast with what he said Republicans have done when it comes to healthcare is, you know, where they are cutting it, we are extending it. And he wanted to send this message and to make New York City appear as the leader that could create some momentum to force the hand of lawmakers in Albany and to, you know, more likely to send a message to lawmakers in Washington. And so I think the reaction that, you know, Elizabeth has is, mm-hmm. is really exactly what the mayor yes. was trying to achieve.
Did the mayor say exactly how and when people will be able to sign up?
No, the specific details of when the program will launch were much vaguer. They said this summer, nailing them down on a month was not something they would commit to. And the actual mechanics for, you know, what will this number be that people can call and how will they go through the sign up, they don't have those details down yet. But they have committed themselves to launching this program this summer and to starting in the Bronx. And, you know, I think that's something that we'll be keeping on our radars at this point.
Michael in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on. My question to the lady is, I'm born here in New York and raised, and my concern is, you know, New York being a very expensive city and state in the Republic, my concern is the plan, will it continue to increase in money? Because this is taxpayers' money, okay? And I understand it's great helping everyone uninsured and undocumented, but isn't this inviting more undocumented to the state, to the city, to just sign up for this program? And because if that's the case, your budget is just going to continue to increase just like everything else.
Michael, thank you. And Bridget, I'll say that I have a few calls on the board who are asking exactly the same question. So did that come up with the mayor yesterday? If we're going to be, along with, I guess, Los Angeles and San Francisco, the place that offers free health care to all undocumented immigrants, is it going to make us more of a magnet?
So the mayor was asked that question yesterday, and his response was fairly brief and said there was no evidence that that would happen, and sort of connected that to other entitlements that are guaranteed here in New York City, saying that that doesn't necessarily draw people to the city for that benefit.
I would also add that this program is probably going to be on a sliding fee scale. So if you can afford it, you will be asked to pay something towards the program. If you're unable to afford it, you will not.
How will an undocumented immigrant be asked to demonstrate their income?
You know, often people, we do this all the time, actually. We certify people for emergency Medicaid all the time. We get letters from employers. We ask people to write letters from family members who may be supporting undocumented immigrants. There's a pretty rigorous eligibility screen that happens. So I think, number one, as the mayor, I guess, said, there is no evidence that people move to anywhere for health care. And number two, people who will be able to afford will be asked to pay something, and people who can't afford it will have the peace of mind to having probably more efficient, cost-efficient care, right? You'll be putting people in primary care instead of having them clog up emergency rooms.
And was the mayor asked about sort of a moral argument that some people make from their point of view? For why New Yorkers who are legal residents should financially support care for the undocumented, Bridget?
I mean, excuse me. I think the argument that the mayor makes when, you know, he's talking about this program is both the economic argument that Elizabeth was just describing, that if you can provide health care for people at a more in a more cost-efficient manner, meaning actual care, not just emergency room care, that is good for the city. And then there was also the values piece that he is going to be a leader for New York that supports, you know, all New Yorkers, and that he, you know, beyond just being a bulwark against the Trump administration, you know, he's the polar opposite of it, that the city, this is a place that believes that healthcare is a human right, that the city has an obligation to take care of its residents. And so, you know, I think his response was twofold, that it actually does make economic sense for all New Yorkers, but that the value of New Yorkers is that we take care of each other.
And I see that at a time when the mayor's been actually getting hammered from the left for a number of his policies, he was asked yesterday, does this burnish your liberal reputation?
The politics of the fact that we have a system that's broken in our nation and has to be addressed, and we in this city are doing something about it, and other cities have to take matters in their own hands as well. That's a political reality.
Elizabeth Benjamin, since you keep bringing this back to the state, last question, as they get ready to start their session today with the new Democratic Senate, the governor is against state single payer. He said so on the show, he said so elsewhere, because he feels like the state can't afford it. He's for it at the federal level, where, you know, the tax burden is spread among 300 million people instead of just the residents of New York State. Do you see any prospect for that going forward this session?
I think there's a lot of hope for that. I think, you know, the Assembly has already, you know, already voted for it several times. I think most of the Democrats in the Senate are on the record that they want to move forward with single payer. You know, if regardless of whether we adopt enact single payer this year or next year, it's going to take years to implement. And what I would say back to you, Brian, and what I would say to the governor and to the legislature is you can provide relief to people right now by passing coverage for undocumented immigrants, by making the exchange, doing state premium assistance, and don't let Governor Newsom in California beat us to it.
So there are steps he can take short of single payer that would
right
provide
now, relief to
a lot of relief
starting next year.
Elizabeth,
that's what we should be doing.
Elizabeth Benjamin, Vice President for Health Services from the Community Service Society, WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.